got your Bibles. We're on part three. The family that prays together grows together and reigns together. Scripture we know all so well, John 10:10, says the thief's purpose. God has a purpose. We have a purpose. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, we know this is Jesus talking, and he's talking about all the people who came before him. They were thieves and robbers. These will always, the thing about a thief is that they will always look for an opportunity to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Sometimes you may even get a word. You may not even realize that the thief could be speaking through your own family or your own friends or a coworker, what have you. Doesn't matter. It's like you can get a word from the Lord, and next thing you know, they got something that will contradict that. Well, yeah, but you know, sometimes the doctors are really smart, and you know, what they say is that there's a probability that you won't be able to make that. Well, the Word of God says that I'm healed by His stripes, but they will have something. Maybe they don't know that they're saying it out of that spirit, but they come to steal the word of God that was sown in your heart. You get a revelation word from the Lord, and they don't want to hear it. They will always look for an opportunity to steal. Always. You know, if you really want to mow your spiritual lawn low, tell somebody something about what God has said to you. Let's see if they rejoice with you, they're happy for you, and if not, they'll use opportunities in order to try to steal the word of God. You'll see that pretty quick. They don't want it to come to fruition. They don't want it to come to pass. Maybe they got hurt in the past. Maybe what they were believing for didn't have it. You know, you could be working around the house, got your garage door open, doing some cleaning, getting some stuff organized and everything. You know, people around in your neighborhood that know you, they're not going to think anything of it and what's in that garage. But you know who will? A thief. They'll be looking. When can I make my move? They'll be looking for opportunities for you to go back inside. Now go and get your weed eater, your trimmer, and throw it in the back and take off or something. You really want to know if people are for you or against you. Tell them some good news. See what they do with it. Because some people will trample all over it. Others will rejoice with you. Others will cry with you and rejoice with you because they know what you've been through. They know the storms that you've been through, that what you've been enduring all those years. They know that you are getting breakthrough. Come on. Sometimes we don't know that we might be stealing the word that was sown into our hearts through other people. These things may happen. But regardless of it, you still have total control over that and whether or not you allow that to get to you. I was told that I would never walk again. Never have a normal childhood. Wouldn't be able to play sports. They were going off of the knowledge that they knew at that time in 78. But here I am. Amen. Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundant. So that what you're experiencing right now ain't the abundant life. Speak to it. Speak to your life. Speak to your situation. I'm a firm believer in confessing the word of God over your life. And sometimes we do, I've been guilty of that. We gripe and complain more so than we speak the word of God. And how come our situation ain't changing, Lord? I said, well, we got some weeds there. Take care of the word. We be gone. Pull them out. Take care of the word. dig around that seed, water it with some more word. Believe it, that you're going to receive it. Believe it, that you received it right then and there. Receive it right then and there. Abundant life starts with Jesus. Life here on earth can be enriched because of our relationship with him, but we won't be complete until we see him face to face. Now, we're all a work in progress, and we will not be complete until Jesus comes back. So the way that it can help enjoy your life right now, how you can enjoy your life right now, is by denying yourself. Enjoying your life his way is by denying yourself, getting out of what you want every single day of your life. There are certain things that I would love to have right now, and Lord, do it for me. I want that land. I want that barn of medium. I want that. I said, that's not for me now. That'll be added. I ain't worried about that. But I got to deny myself. Get your emotions, your thoughts, your will, your belief system, and the words that you speak and line it up with what God's word says. I know what you may be seeing right now is a reality, but it's not a permanent one because everything is subject to change. Everything. It's not a doom and gloom situation. Everything in your life right now is subject to change because we're still here on this earth. You don't like it? Get into the word. Fix it. Your life is a product of what you've been sowing all those other years. You reap what you? Spiritual laws. No man can outlive that law. It happens to all of us. I live by it. You live by it. Jesus lived by it. No man can overcome that law, that spiritual law. We will reap what we sow. Jesus came to give us life, and if what you're experiencing right now isn't taste of heaven, start putting God first. If it isn't that taste of heaven, that abundant life that he's giving you, I guarantee you God is not first in your life, because it doesn't matter what all the other things are doing, other people are saying about you. I say, there's so much stuff, I don't even hear it though. If there's stuff being said about me, I don't even hear it. I thank God for that. I don't get to hear it. Cool. So there's a storm just working all around, and I'm just chilling. I don't ever get to hear it. Sometimes I want to. I wonder what they're saying. Other times, who cares? Because regardless of it, I'm going to still do what he's called me to do. They can't stop me from fulfilling the call of my life. They can't stop me from having that relationship with Jesus. They can't stop what God wants to do in my life. They can't stop me from impacting other people's lives. They can't stop me from operating in the anointing. They can't stop what God wants to do in your life or my life or anyone else's life that chooses to put God first in their life. What they can do is distract you from him. So you got to stay connected. And I don't mean the social media. Stay connected to the main source of life. He is the great I am. See, a thief will try to take your life, but Jesus is the one that gives us life. He sacrifices his life for the sheep. We have to reign together. We got to grow. That growth is a process. It is a process. It's a tough process. Some processes we don't want to go through, but we have to grow. I don't understand sometimes when it comes to math, like getting up in college. I was pretty good in high school and stuff and college, and it's just like, doggone, I don't want to do this anymore. How much more math do we need? Really? But you know what? When you continue to go through it, and work it out. And the more time you spend with people that understand it, the more time you spend with those problems, the more time you spend getting tutored or what have you, I said, it becomes a whole lot more easier. You start saying, wait a minute, I can do this. And that's how life is too. You get around people that know the word of God. You get around people that their lives have been enriched by the kingdom of God. You're spending that quality time with the Lord. It becomes a whole lot easier because your focus is on Jesus and not on your problems. In 1 Peter 3:8, it says this, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, as tenderhearted, be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude." The church should have the same type of family life as you do in your own homes. And I understand every church might be some dysfunction. Well, they're not perfect. Well, you're not going to find any church in the world that's perfect. But we don't want to be a loveless church. We want to be a church that loves people, helps people, grows people spiritually. Some may get caught up on the numbers. We don't have to. Because if you're making disciples, disciples will make disciples, and those disciples will make disciples, and those disciples will make disciples, because true disciples of Jesus Christ will make disciples. So start making disciples. And if you're not a true believer, or a true disciple, he says in John 8, 31, 32, "If you are my disciples, you will know the word. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free," will make you free. So the word should take authority over man's word any day of the week. There'll be some disagreements from time to time, but it says right here we are to be of one mind. We can agree to disagree, but if that agreement is based upon the word, that's good. The word should take authority over man's word. Sympathize with one another. Have compassion for each other. Sometimes it's just listening to someone without saying a word. You ever had those conversations before when you sat at a table where you just sat at a table and they just venting? And you didn't even say anything. Then after it was all said and done, you can minister the word to them. Well, this is what the word of God says. Or what scripture are you standing on? Well, let's get an agreement. A lot of times we might feel pressed to talk about our own stories, but that may not be what they need at that moment. So it's important to be led by the Spirit of God when you are doing those things. Sometimes we may have love and hate relationships with other people because some may not have your best interest at heart. They may have their best interest for you, but they don't have your best interest at heart. A person who has your best interest at heart is going to line up with what God has already said to you. I know Brother Hagin has said years ago, when people have a word for him, he'd rather hear a donkey bray at midnight in a tin barn. And somebody say, "I got a word for you." No, God can speak to you. Because otherwise people can just manipulate that and use that all the time. You can hear from the Lord yourself. And if anyone comes to you and tells you something, you have to understand, this is something that the Lord has already been dealing with me on. And it should confirm what he's already spoken to you. Otherwise, they can manipulate you. They can get you. Next thing you know, you'll be sowing thousands upon thousands of dollars into them. I'll go get a job before I ever do that. It says, be tenderhearted. It's important not to allow trauma to change you into someone else. Sometimes we can get guarded. That's happened. I got guarded. And it began to alter some of the things. Why? Because I wanted to beat the head to the white meat shows. But you can't do that. Because the Bible tells us to make allowances for each other's faults. Right? So you can learn and grow from what you go through in life. You know, if the enemy came in and broke your home, broke your door down in your home, are you going to go with the same lock? Well, I'm just trying to piece these things together, keep the same old broken door jam there and still using these little, you know, I'm not even using a deadbolt. And no, you're going to beef up the security because you got to protect your family. You're going to change some things up. So there are some things that's going to change, but you shouldn't allow it to change your love for people. Okay? Because once we get out of love, faith works by love. You have to keep yourself in love. Remember, God blesses you, and it also tells us to bless them that does what? That curse us, right? And pray for those who hurt you. He says, bless those who curse you and pray for those who hurt you. It doesn't say get revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, for I will repay. Never tells us to get revenge on them. We bless those that curse us. Now, look at the compassion and the mercy of God right here. Now, we're blessed to be a blessing. That's what we're living by. Jesus has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he became a curse for us. So people really don't necessarily have to live in the curse. They're choosing to. But even then, if they do something to you, if they curse you, they talk about you, they slander your name, whatever it is, he says, bless them. That's the only taste, a little bit of heaven that they're ever going to receive is by you blessing them. While you're living in it, they only get a taste. So some people know they're living in a curse, which is why they'll curse you, just so they can get a taste of what you already live in. Bless those that curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. God blesses you. You're carrying that blessing around. You bless them if they actually need something from you. If an individual is going around cursing people, then they are living in that curse. So when they're purposely going around stirring up conflict, drama, confusion, they're looking for somebody to actually bless them. And if you don't bless them, they tend to get upset. You have to bless me. You have to love me. They can walk out of love, but you have to walk in love. They can forgive me. You have to forgive me. They can do whatever they want to you, and you're still going to have to forgive them. They don't realize forgiveness is for you. It's for me. It's for all of us. You can do all those things, but you don't have to trust them. Trust in God. You don't have to yield to their plan for your life. You don't have to put their word over God's. You don't have to believe their story about what they shared about you. But you do have to love. You need to pray for them. You need to forgive them. You need to bless them. You don't have to be best friends with them. You can love from a distance. It says, in verse 9, it says, don't repay what? Evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. When people insult you, instead pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it. Reigning together requires humility. Humility is basically not thinking highly of yourself. It's okay to think, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's scriptural. I have authority here on earth because of my relationship with Jesus. He gave that authority to the church. I have dominion over this earth. So do you. That's scriptural. But for us to put ourselves on the level of God in any way, shape, or form, like we're the judge of everything, we're thinking highly of ourselves. Like people have to come to you for every little thing you do in your life. You're missing it. Pastors really don't have much authority over you, if any. We're called to preach the word. I don't have authority over you. I don't make you come. You come because you want to see all of this. Because you want to fellowship with one another. It ain't because of me. Humility is having an attitude that is totally dependent upon God. So when it comes to your own family life, are you dependent upon God or are you dependent upon the education that you may have acquired all those years? If it isn't on God, I'm going to let you know that education, even Paul said, I considered it dung. All of that, we're dependent upon God. All of it. I know how it talks about we're brothers and sisters. I said, this is my brother over here. Good man. Going through some stuff in my life, out of all the people that came, that said something, that may not have said, I know there was people praying for me, you know, and others didn't say anything. He was the only one that came with, how are you doing? Only one. I had other people call me, but he was the only one that came. Good man. That's family. We should be doing that with each other. Well, I heard they doing this over here, so I'm going to stay away from them. What? Why? Go to them. Ask them. How are you doing? Do you need prayer? Is there anything that I can agree with you on? What are you doing for lunch? Let's go talk. How's your family doing? We probably have no clue on what anybody's going through right now, and everybody could be going through some type of a storm, and we not have any kind of clue whatsoever. But we can so talk. Well, let's talk to each other. That's family. Going to God first is showing that your dependency is upon him and you are trusting him at his word. When we start going to a lot of other people, then basically we are trying to get our way and try to get our story across to others because we are making it about ourselves. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. They're doing it because of Jesus. They're doing it because they don't like the relationship that you may have with Jesus. They're doing it because your family might look like it has y'all have it all together. I mean, you guys are achieving overachieving and everything, and then people just don't like, man, that competitive stuff will get you. It'll get you. People at the bottom are competing. People at the top, they're collaborating. So where do you want to be? I want to be collaborating with people. Impacting other people's lives. Competing? That's like fighting for the last dinner roll or something. Wasn't it your uncle that made y'all fight over the last slice of pizza or something like that? The last slice of pepperoni. I mean, not even a pizza. Humility is caring about one another and looking out for what's best for them in their life. Looking out for their best interests, not your best interest for them. So here's the thing. Are you sweetening the deal? Are you sweetening the pot for yourselves? Or when you do make a deal, does it work out for both of you? Oh, I got one over them. Oh, yeah, I got a great deal on this, on that vehicle. I lowballed them. Is that a great deal for you and them? Because they got to feed their family off of that. See, if we can learn to be patient and to be just, fair, and honest and righteous in some of our dealings, I'm going to let you know, God is going to open up those doors for you and bring more across your path. I guarantee it. And Matthew 18:4 says, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. It's that childlike faith. You don't have to convince kids on certain stories. I mean, they just believe it. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. And sometimes we may have a hard time because we aren't getting what we want. God, you said this was going to work, and it hasn't. It's been 2 minutes, and it hasn't worked. Well, you may not have two-minute faith, but you might have two-day faith. You may have two-week faith. You may have two-year faith, but you still have faith. Now, if you got 2 years, two decades, what have you, 20 years, whatever the case, let's get it reduced down to 2 minutes. Let's get it down to instant. God says it. I believe it. That's it. That settles it. I'm done. I believe I'm healed. Well, there's no manifestation. I don't care. I'm not going off of what I see. I'm going off of what it says. I'm going off of what Jesus said and what he has done for us. Patience. Patience plays a big part in your prayers, your growth, and reign. You know, even when we're going through trials, it says, let patience have its perfect work. You can't rush that. You can't cut corners. Have you ever cut corners when you're ironing your clothes? Anybody iron in here? Young people don't iron. We just throw it in a dryer, huh? My grandmother would iron. We call her Momo. My grandkids call my mom Momo. But my grandmother lived with us a couple of years in high school and stuff like that. And you got any pants to wear? She'll be up early in the morning, you know. You know, the elderly, they're up early. Up early. They go to bed early, they're up early. She'll be ironing our pants. I'm talking about creases in jeans, like so stiff. You be styling. Taking her time, just starch all up. Just ironing so nice and clean. But it takes patience to do that. I tried doing that. I don't have the patience. I still see it, and there's no crease, or the crease might be going this way. It's not straight. And it's not even wrinkled. I said, the back is still all jacked up, and I'm like, okay, I can't. Yeah, I'm taking the cleaners. Throw it in the dryer. But it says, let patience. Patience have its perfect work. God is going to turn that situation around. He's going to use it somehow. He wasn't the one who brought it. He wasn't the one who brought all that destruction upon you, but he's going to turn that situation and work it for your good. To those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose, he is going to work that. You have to allow patience to have its perfect work. When David got anointed to be king, he wasn't trying to rush Saul out. You have to allow patience to have its perfect work. God's timing is an important element in our lives. In James 5:7, it says, dear brothers, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. Consider the farmers who patiently wait for the rains in the fall and the spring. They eagerly look for valuable harvest to ripen. Everything takes time. And for a person to mature and to grow, and it takes time. Now, faith in God can help speed up the process, but going through and coming out of various storms still requires time. Patience is one of the fruit of the spirits that we have. So the more you get God involved in your life and allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, the more patient you will become. Situations won't bug you anymore. You can have that annoying person operating in your life and stuff like that. You don't even hear it. I mean, I'm amazed at some people's kids. Back in the day, I'm not talking now, back in the day, but I mean, they go in a grocery store and they just, yeah, we want this and stuff like that, and they just be walking. I was like, my goodness, somebody needs to take that child aside and when you could do it, spank them. But he says, let patience have its perfect work. Not passive, but patient. The word of God still works every time when you combine it with faith. Every single time. Like clockwork. It'll work every single time. In Romans 5:3, it says this, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. We can't always pick the problems that we want in our life, but God can help develop your patience through those problems. So consistency will help you when it comes to your reign in God's kingdom. Being patient and being consistent with him. In Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So do not be attracted by new ideas. Your strength comes from who? From God's grace. Not from rules about food, which don't help those who follow them. Consistency was what Jesus had lived here on earth. He was consistent. When people saw him, they knew he was the healer. They knew he was going to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, and they knew that he was going to heal. He was going to demonstrate what he preached. He was consistent through that throughout his life. So when people see us, what about us is consistent? Oh, we see Richard there. We see Richard. We know Richard's gonna tap me on the shoulder over here, and then he's gonna be over here. Oh, there goes a Karen. No. We don't wanna. That's fine. We're consistent. Ain't nobody named Karen in here, is there? Okay. When you live a consistent life, people will know what you bring to the table every day because of your actions yesterday and the day before and the day before that. You're consistent. I know my brother-in-law. He's very consistent in what? Being funny. He's got some good jokes. I mean, I'm talking about that'll make you snort. Just while you're laughing. Good jokes. People knew for the most part what they were getting from Jesus. He was going to preach the gospel of the kingdom and demonstrate what he taught and call out all those who were trying to plot. So stay consistent with God every single day. Be consistent with him. Your identity is in him, and it's not anything else. It's not in your job. It's not in your friends. It's not the partying. It's not in the social media. It's in Jesus. A lot of times we'll try to see God. Jesus created you for him. So he's the only one that's going to fit that hole in your life. The things that you're seeking after, he's the only one that's going to fit that part in your life. He's the only one. It can't be done by anything else. Not the best job in the world. Well, if I relocate here, this is going to fulfill. No. If you're not fulfilled already in Christ, that's not going to matter. All those things will be added to you when you seek first the kingdom of God. So ask yourself this question. What am I consistent with? Is it my relationship? Is it with my children? Is it with just being a good friend, just being someone who needs a? I'm a prayer warrior. Is that what I'm consistent about? If that's you, let's go. But what are you consistent of? Are you consistent at throwing that chunkla at your child? That shoe. What are you consistent of? Father God, we thank you. We thank you today. We thank you that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Lord. And Father God, we just place all our trust in you, completely, solely in you, Jesus, to where we could be dependent upon whatever you have for us. There's no problem too small, no depth too deep, Lord. No mountain too high that you can't remove out of our lives. And we thank you for that. We thank you for these young people in here today and the purpose that you have for them, Father. We just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, you may stand. Invite somebody out to lunch or this week or today. Doesn't matter. But continue to grow and be consistent with Christ. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.